Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
If you don't know my name, I'm Pastor Timothy Capo, and so it's obvious why that's funny. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, one verse. Why don't we stand in honor of the word, as is our custom here at Kings, to read the word. I'm going to be reading from the New King James. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this church that has an importance for the prophetic, and we thank you that you speak, that you're a living God that speaks to your people. And I pray that as we get into this word this evening, that you would open up our hearts to receive. We pray, O Spirit of wisdom and revelation, come upon us that we may grow in the knowledge of you, that you would open up our hearts to receive, give us ears to hear. We thank you. I pray for an anointing upon myself to be able to impart that which is upon your heart. We thank you and praise you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can go and be seated. Title of the message is Fighting Words. What to do with your prophetic word. And before we get into the meat of that, I do want to acknowledge that I believe that there is a current ongoing attack in our nation and maybe other nations on the validity of the prophetic. If you take a look at what's happening in a number of different prophetic voices that have spoken into this nation, even for decades, there's been some exposing, which is good. We pray that what is wrong and corrupt should be exposed. And I'll say also there's a right way to do it. And personally, I feel that if your ministry is solely focused on exposing, then you're more aligned to the accuser than the encourager. I've got a problem with ministries that solely focus on accusing and bringing up issues in churches and ministries. Yes, I agree, things need to be brought to light, and any evil, corruption, things like that need to be exposed, but there's a prescribed way to deal with that, and Facebook is generally not that until it comes to the point where it needs to come to public. Okay, so I share that to say that right now in our nation, in church in general, the prophetic has come into light, not in the best fashion, because of people that have abused that position of being able to prophesy. And so in dealing with that, we've got to have the right perspective. The enemy knows that if you doubt the integrity of the prophet, you'll doubt the validity of the prophetic word. So what he does is he'll use these moments to take faith from the hearts of people in the prophetic. And the prophetic is very powerful. God has used the prophetic throughout history to speak into the body, to speak into the church, to bring about his plan and his purposes. So what do we do in handling things like what's being exposed? And people talk about false prophets and things like that. And many churches have just pushed the prophetic out completely because they don't know how to deal with it, which I believe is wrong. Even though they may believe in the prophetic, by prophetic meaning God speaking through someone into your life, into a church, into a nation, or God using someone to release his word, in a sense, outside of the written word, though it will never, right prophecy will never contradict it. But you don't throw it out. It would be like, we never hear of this, throwing out teaching in the church because of false teachers. Can I tell you there's more false teachers than false prophets right now? There's more bad teaching than bad prophecy, but we don't talk about throwing that ministry out of the church. Why? Because we've learned that to deal with that aspect of it, we study the word ourselves, right? We look at people like Martin Luther years ago who brought that to light, that we don't need to depend upon someone else interpreting the word to us. No, we can read the word for ourselves and rightly divide the word of truth. So we made this importance as a body and as a church in culture to have a study of the word, and also looking at the character of those teaching and those preaching and bringing the interpretation of the word. Hey, it's the same concerning the prophetic, that you don't throw it out. Instead, you weigh it. Instead, you look at the character and integrity of those prophesying. You take the same measures that we would with teaching and apply it to the prophetic, and really to any way that there is ministry to the body in the church. We don't throw it out. So what do you do with your prophetic word? Again, maybe you came to the power conference and received a word. Maybe at some point you received a word. And maybe later on you'll receive a word. What do you do with that? And I'm not going to preach real long to you here this evening. We had such a wonderful time over this week, message after message, service after service, that I'm not going to preach real long, but I want to give you something to hold on to. Number one, if you are going to, what you're going to do with your prophetic word, what you need to do, number one, you need to value it. If you don't have a value for it, if you don't have a value for it, it's not going to affect your life. It's not going to bring about fruitfulness in your life. You're not going to take action to it. And really, the rest of what I'm about to share with you and teach to you is not going to have any impact if you don't have a value for the prophetic word. And that's why I began with pointing out the issues right now that have come up concerning the prophetic and why we need to approach it in the same way we do the teaching of the word, because I want you to have a value for the prophetic and not just throw it out as just some side thing something that is not important. The prophetic is God speaking through his people to his body, to the individual, to the family, to the church. And if you don't have an importance for that, it's not going to change your life. It's not going to have an effect. What do you mean? What do we do valuing it? Well, you weigh it. You received a word. You've got to be able to take that word. I'll say it differently. God is speaking through people. And what do we know about people? Well, if you know anything about yourself, you know that we fail and we fall short. And so the greatest prophet, quote unquote prophet, still operates through a natural filter and their own selves. So again, we've got to come with that understanding. And as the prophetic word comes, we weigh what's being expressed. Number one, does it line up with the word? If in any way it does not line up with the written word, then it's not from the Lord. God is not going to send someone to prophesy for you to divorce your spouse and go marry someone else. He's not going to do that. He's not going to prophesy. He's not going to speak through someone for you not to do your taxes right this year because he wants you blessed. Why? Those things violate Scripture, what we know from Scripture. Oh, but God wants me blessed. Not that way, honey. Not that way. He doesn't work that way. You think he needs to circumvent the IRS to be able to bless you? That's some very weak poverty thinking. Hey, so back to the prophetic. You weigh it. It's got to line up with the word. It can't violate it in any way, shape, or form. And not only that, he's given you, if you're a Christian, you're a believer, he's given you his spirit. And what we are able to do then is what we can discern Does it bear witness with the Spirit within you? There are times that somebody will say something to me that sounds right, it sounds good, but there's a check. There's like, you know, it's not quite right. And so I'll hold on to that and I'll dwell on it and then come to figure out maybe it doesn't line up somewhere in Scripture, or it's not right, or they've got ulterior motives to try and get something from you. I'm not talking about like the prophets that have come through for this conference. We know them personally, but there are people out there in the world, on YouTube, on social media, that want to manipulate you with the quote-unquote prophetic, or pathetic, with the prophetic to get money from you, to get influence. And you've got to be able to rightly divide the word to say that's not right, or depend upon the witness of the Spirit. I love this analogy from the banking system. I heard it from someone else, but in the banks, for bank tellers that handle money, to help them to identify counterfeit money, not the real. For me, it would make sense that you've got to study the counterfeit and all the different ways that they make counterfeit bills. But that's not what they do. They have those tellers spend a lot of time handling the real. And when you spend a lot of time handling the real, when the fake comes through, you're like, it looks good, but it's not right. Something is not right with this. Hey, and that's the same way the Holy Spirit will work in you. And the more in your life, this is kind of going in a different direction, but the more in your life you give into that conviction and that and yield to the Holy Spirit in that way, the more sensitive you become. And the more you'll be able to hear and know and be led and guided by Him. So back to this, part of valuing the prophetic word is weighing it rightly. Does it line up with the word? Does your spirit bear witness? And if you really question something, seek godly counsel. I have people that come to me and say, Pastor, I received this prophetic word. This doesn't make sense. I don't know. It doesn't seem right. And I'll be able to help them with that. And if you're not a part of a church that believes in the prophetic and operates in that, it's very hard to be able to bring those things to leadership if they don't have any concept of it at all. So it's important to have that place where you can bring the weighing of that. Not only that, talking about valuing it, you weigh it, but you also honor it. Honor the prophetic word. It's not a small thing. It's God speaking into your life. Yes, it's through a person. Yes, it's true, but that's how He's operated for thousands upon thousands of years. Do you know that all the prophetic books of the Bible were written by people? Do you know the whole of the Bible was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through people? And so I'm not saying we bring it to the level of the canon of Scripture, but I am saying that there must be an honoring of the prophetic and the means by which God will speak into your life. Because if you don't have an honor for it, then you're not going to receive of it. And God's not going to bring those people into your life. Maybe you're like, you know, this person always gets prophetic words. You know what? I bet they really have a value and an honor for the prophetic. I bet in their lives they really, that is something they cherish. I'll tell you, for me and my family, we cherish the prophetic. And anytime there's a prophetic word, we're going to do our best to record it, to write it down, to whatever we've got to do to memorialize the moment so that we can continue to look at that thing. And I'm getting into some other aspects of this, but there's an honoring of it. And the Bible says that if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. And many times we will devalue even God speaking to you. I don't want to talk to you sometimes. I'm going to be super, should I be super transparent, Minister Heidi, my wife? Hey, Tuesday, we went to the movies, me and my family. Smile at me. You're going to keep loving me. We went to the movies, and man, there was people from church there, and that's amazing. But man, I had my hood up and I'm like, don't recognize me. I don't want to talk to nobody. Right? It's, I don't get energized talking to people naturally. I love you. I love talking to you. I love the conversations we have. But on days off like that, don't come talk to me. Smile and wave. I love you. Smile and wave. You will talk later. But I know that about myself. And so I've got to watch that place within my life. How did I even get there? I'm feeling like Pastor Daniel after a conference. But it's honoring. Ponder it. Mull over it. Don't just put it down. Don't file it away with the rest of the prophetic words or things that you got that you never hear again. It's not going to bring something substantial to your life that way. Ask questions. How does it fit? Does it confirm what he's already been speaking? For the most part, for me, prophetic words are rarely like out of left field, like outside of what God has already been speaking. Generally, the prophetic for me and for our family, it's God's confirming things that he's already begun to speak to us. Now, I'll say this and we'll move on. There are times where you need to separate some things. Pastor Daniel always, he's always said it this way. You receive what you're meant to receive and whoosh, flush the rest. And again, I'm not making any reference to any of the prophetic words from this power conference because I know the guests that we had, I know that God spoke clearly through them into your lives. But there are those that will come and they may have a prophetic gifting and they may partially hear from the Lord and then their flesh or their soul may be in the rest of it and you need to be able to discern this was God, this probably wasn't, and I'm not going to be too concerned about that part. All right, so number one, you value it. That was number one? Yes. Number one, you value it. But number two, the purpose of the prophetic is for you to wage war with it. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, in the text we read, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, but that by them you may wage the good warfare. It's for war. It's for the purpose of when the enemy comes, when circumstances come, when things come your way that you need to overcome, that you're believing for victory for, you've got something to hold on to. You've got a word from God. He's spoken to you. And I'm going to be further transparent because the best examples I have come from my own life, because if I use your examples, you're going to get mad at me. Not going into any kind of detail, but a year ago at Power Conference, I received a prophetic word from one of the prophets that God is going to heal me. I don't remember the exact words of it, that there's something going on in me and God is going to heal me. It's already done. He's healed you. Okay. Weeks later, stepping into a doctor's office being diagnosed with something that people would say is huge. But guess what? Not only did I have the word that says, by his wounds I'm healed, he is already prepared before that moment through a prophet to speak into my life before the battle even came, before I needed it. I had something to wage war with in that moment to say God has already spoken into that thing. No, he says that he's healed me. Look, the prophet had no idea. And I'd not even really had an idea. There'd been some symptoms of things, but not to the extent of what would be diagnosed. And the reason I'm not telling you is because that's not my identity. And you're not going to look at me and go, he has this, he has that. No, it doesn't have. My identity is healed. That's all you need to know. So when you talk about me, that's what you're going to say, unless, and if it's anything other than that, you can keep my name out your mouth. Well, because of how important it is to speak rightly. And I'm going to share with people that are that I know are going to speak that. And there are those that would come and say, what's going on? And I tell them, and they're praying with me and speaking. And there's been a tremendous healing from that time until now. A year ago, I think I preached right after the power conference, and I'm telling you, nobody knew this, but I was in the most intense pain that really I'd ever felt. I almost quit preaching so many times, and nobody knew, because I'm going to believe the Lord to sustain me, and he did exactly that. So a year later, the prophetic word is still true. I'll tell you, there are many nights, there are many times over that period that I needed to go back to that word. And yes, well, Pastor, did you really need a prophetic word? You've got the Bible. He says that he sent his word and healed you. He says that by his wounds that you're healed. He said that he's the God who heals you. Yes, that's true. But can I tell you what? He loved me enough to send someone on top of the word to say, to recognize me and my mom in what I didn't even know I would need, so that I could know he sees me and he's already got it worked out. It's a done deal. So I knew it from the word, but he knew, like everybody else, I needed some reassurance. I needed some confirmation. And it's like I think one of the prophets spoke on this during the conference, but one of my favorite texts comes from the Old Testament, where Hagar, who conceived a son from Abraham, Ishmael, was kicked out of their camp by Sarah, Abraham's wife. And in that place where her son Ishmael, as she's kicked out, they're separated, and he's going to die, and she can't deal with this. And I'm paraphrasing all this, but in that moment, God shows up and speaks to her and gives her revelation, brings her out of that place. But she gives God a name, and that name has always stuck with me. It's El Roy, or R-O-I, Roy, however you want to pronounce it, the God who sees, or the God who sees me. And so that's one of the powerful weapons of the prophetic, the recognition that God sees me. He knows me. He knows what I'm going through. Not this vague, ambiguous, he's working in the world. Yes, he's working in me. He's working for me. And not only do I know that from the word, but he sent someone to come and to speak into my life at the time I needed it, or even before the time I needed it, before I even knew I needed it. He spoke. And when I got to the place, I recognized he sees, he knows, he's got a plan, he's working it out. And I had the wonderful privilege this during the Power Conference, when my children got prophesied over, to see on their faces that very revelation. Because I could see the prophet would begin to speak and talk about issues, internal concerns, and things that only they would know that they'd been dealing with emotionally in their thought life, and things in that really only they would know. And watching my 10-year-old all of a sudden break out, just a smile, because God sees him. At 10 years old, he knows God sees him. Not because dad says so, not just because he knows it from the word or children's ministry, because God was gracious enough to speak through a man and a woman into his life to let him know, yes, those intricate questions and emotions that you're dealing with, I see that. I value that. I'm with you. Trust me. It's an amazing thing. So there's a waging of war, and that comes through the prophetic, that it's this weapon that we're able to have, knowing that God sees us. And not only that, but this weapon, there is power in the prophetic. You may not have known this, but when you got prophesied over, something was released in the supernatural. Something was released in the heavenlies. I'll tell you, the demonic knows about it, because they had to back up and back off because of the word of the Lord came forth. Listen, it's when God created the world, he spoke and he said, let there be light. And I don't have, I've only got 10 minutes, so I'm not going to go into great detail on it. But in that moment, the faith in his heart, the faith he had concerning creation, that which he'd already hoped, that's which he'd seen, he spoke it out and the Holy Spirit came into action. And I'll back up and say it this way, because this is a picture of the Trinity. Jesus is the Word. The Bible says in John that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. From the beginning, before the beginning, he was with God. Nothing that was created without him. So he is a part of creation. So when God said, let there be light, his faith was released through the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit brought about the power to see that happen. Now, guess what? Science will tell you today that the initial light from the beginning of all creation is still moving. It is still being. It is still create. It is still having life. So when you were prophesied over, you must understand that something was released, something was initiated. There was a power that was released to be able to create. You might have received a prophetic word and God saying something about you, and you're like, that sure doesn't sound like me. That sure doesn't look like me. But do you know what he likes to do? He speaks that which isn't as though it is. He speaks who he know he who he's called you to be, who he's intended you to be, and it releases a power for you to begin to move in that direction. You look at the ministry of Jesus and how he interacted with his disciples. It wasn't about what they've done. It was always speaking into what they would become. He called Peter a rock before he was anything like a rock, because he was speaking into what he would become. And that power was released. The prophetic has power. You go back and listen to it. I want you to go listen to that word again. You got it recorded or written down. Go look at it again and recognize those moments where something was released, a creative power into your life, healing, provision, whatever it is. And you hold on to that, because the what will happen often is that there will come circumstances that look the opposite. Can I tell you, after I received that prophetic word about my health, it looked everything the opposite. If I told you the symptoms, it would freak you out. And you say, Pastor, I never knew. You're right. They would freak you out, but I had a word. For every symptom, I had a word. For every moment, he had already spoken to me. And I was able to declare it into that moment and continue to see that power released. But you've got to also get a hold of what you're speaking. So you can't declare one thing, this is what was prophesied, and then speak something the opposite and expect that it's going to come about. Your words have power. You can negate the prophetic word. I'll say this, just because it was spoken over you that this is what God wanted to do doesn't mean it's just going to happen. We're going to get into that here in the last point. You've got to do something about it. And your words, your confession, can negate what has been spoken. And I want to say this. He talks about to Timothy waging a good warfare, not a battle, but a war. War is ongoing. You hold on to the prophetic. It might be for now. It might be for later. It might be for now and later. There are many times that in our bedroom, well, before we're going to sleep, we'll be playing prophetic words from 15 years ago from power conferences, prophetic conferences, or just somebody prophesying over our lives that we need to hear today. But it was 15 years ago. You wage a good warfare with that. And anybody who knows anything about waging a good warfare means that you knows that you've got to have practice with that thing. So it goes back to valuing it, because if you don't spend time with that prophetic word and you don't know it, you can't wield it. I like the, I don't know what branch of the military it comes from, but they say, this is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. I've always held on to that, because they're trained to know how to disassemble that and put it together blindfolded. And why? How? Because they did it so many times. And I like to say, this is my Bible. There are many like it, but this one's mine. And I've got a commitment to it. There are many prophetic words. But the ones for me, I've held on to, and I've listened to, and we've listened to for our children, for our family, and over and over and over and over and over. So when circumstances come that don't line up, you say, nope, that's not what God said. I don't care what it looks like in the natural. I don't care what someone else says. That's not right, because God has said just the same way. Do you know that when the devil came to tempt Jesus, it was in opposition to the prophetic spoken over his life as the Messiah? The prophetic word concerning the Messiah is what the devil opposed in tempting him those three different times. And what did Jesus respond with? It is written. What did he respond with? And you say, well, that's the word. It's the word. It's the prophetic word concerning him in his life and what he was called to do. And so in the same way, you take that word and you wage a good warfare with it. Last point, you got to act on it. Act on the prophetic word. Act on it. Do something. Do something about it. I don't know how many times I hear things like, oh, I got this amazing prophetic word. God is going to raise me up and this healing ministry and use me to see cancers broken off of people and healing the sick and all these things. And then 10 years later, nothing. Well, I'm waiting for God. Once he sends me into that ministry, then we'll see that prophetic word fulfilled. That's not how it works. You start laying hands on the sick. You start stepping forward in the prophetic word and laying hands upon the sick. Well, I've done that, and they didn't get healed. Keep doing it. He didn't say to stop. He said he's going to use you in that ministry. You continue to operate in that, and then he's going to show up, and you'll see the fulfillment of it. How do I know? Because he said. Because he said. You want another reason than that? They want another reason. No. Because he said. You know, my kids, they don't need another reason. Well, there may be a higher power than dad said. See, because they know that mom said might be a little more, might have a little more authority. But that's only because dad doesn't know what's going on most of the time. As far as schedules and food and what needs to happen with kids going to school. But they don't have a question about it. They get a word from me. Guess what? They're going to go tell everybody in the house, Dad said I can do this. Dad said I can have it. And they don't have it. Everybody else doesn't have an argument. You know why? Because Dad said. And then we're the same, we're to be the same way with the word of the Lord. God said, the only thing I can do is be transparent, all right? I don't like to use the term God personally because it's too broad, too ambiguous, too distant, too unrelational. He's my father. He's my father. He's a good father. And that's how we're taught by Jesus to relate to him. He's my father. And my father said, that's something else. Dad said, I can do this. Dad said, I can do this in my life. He said that I'm healed. He said that he's releasing provision into my life. That's what's going to happen. Well, you know how I know? Because he said. I don't need another reason. But you got to act on it. You can't just hear it. You can't just file it away. It can't just go on your prophetic word shelf. It can't just get written into your pink diary, all right? Brother Rob, I seen it. Rhinestones on it and everything. No. You've got to act on it. Now, there are things that have to wait for action. I understand that. But what you can act on, act on. We often wait for him, and he's looking to us to take the step of faith. We want him to show up. He's already given us his word, but we want him to show up with the answer before we need to have faith for it. You only need faith until it's realized. You only need faith until you can see it. But we want to see it, and then we'll have faith. Like, I can't remember who it was, one of the great healing evangelists. Could I have a minstrel, please, someone to play? Play keys so I can wind this down, talks about having these extended meetings of people getting healed, all kinds of things, lame walking, blind eyes opening. But the pastor's wife, no matter how many times she got prayed for, couldn't get healed. And the event, I think it might have been Hagen, I can't remember if it was Kenneth Hagen or who it was, began to talk to her and tried to build up her faith, because that's often the obstacle, is our faith and whether we truly believe that he's not only going to heal, but he's going to heal me. And her response is, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe he's going to heal me when I see it. And guess what? She never received healing, because that's not faith. It's not faith when you can see it. It's faith when he said it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. And whether it's this word or prophetic word, you hear it, you get it in you, and then that is the substance by which you walk out what you don't see until all of a sudden. I preached this message just recently. The Israelites crossing the Jordan into the promised land, all they had was a prophetic word, and it was crazy. Walk around this huge walled city. Not one time, not two times, not three times, not four, seven times, silent. And then on the last one, shout and play the instruments and the walls are going to fall. Crazy. But they obey. And what many people don't realize is that no matter how many times they went around before that seventh time, there was not one crack in that wall. There was not one visible representation that God was going to do what he said. But it says in scripture, and suddenly, when they shouted, when they played those instruments, suddenly those walls fell flat. So would you take that word until the suddenly? You act on it until the suddenly. You know, listen, he's already given you the confirmation. It's his word. You don't need anything else. He act on it. But I'm also encouraged that he likes to continue to speak to us. And he loves us enough to continue to encourage us. You know how many times he told them, the Israelites specifically, before going into the promised land, don't be afraid? Constantly. Why? Because they needed it. Don't be afraid. Oh, yeah, don't be afraid. I had the exact same thing happen to me. He gave me his word. I got the word here. I got a prophetic word. Different symptoms come up. And then I was getting ready for church or something, and I hear, don't be afraid. Which should indicate there comes an opportunity to be afraid. And I'll tell you, a symptom came up in my body that was wild and could easily create fear. But you know what? Dad already told me don't be afraid. That means he's got a plan. Means he's got it worked out. That means I don't got to be afraid. He's dealing with it. He's taking care of it. I'm going to continue to obey. And I'm going to continue. Even though I see symptoms, look what the Lord has done. Right? Because I don't see it in natural. I see it here. I see it here. Just like those in Hebrews chapter 11. They might not have seen it in the natural, but in the spirit, they saw it afar off. That's the power, the prophetic word. You take that thing, you wage a good warfare with it. Learn to use it. Get it in you. And anything that comes opposite of it, no, this is what Dad said. This is what was spoken to me. This is what was spoken over my life. This is who he's called me to be. I want to pray for us tonight before I close. I want to pray that God so stirs you with a prophetic word that we move into 2026 into the abundantly above and beyond anything we can ask or think. You might have even received a prophetic word that you didn't think was all that. You're like, I need a refund or I need another prophet. I'm serious. People come with that. And there are times where I've got a prophetic word where I'm like, okay. But the more I listened to it, the more I dwelt on it, the more I took it to the secret place, the more it pierced into my heart and released strength. And then down the road, I'm like, oh, I needed that. I might have looked down on it prematurely because I guess I needed that. So I'm going to pray for us in just a moment. I want to do this, though. All that I've spoken about the release of the prophetic and what it will work within your life and what you need to do with it, it really requires you to have a relationship with God first. Not just knowing about Him. Knowing Him as Father. And there's only one way to do that. And that is to come into that family by being born again. The Bible says you must be born again, not of flesh, but of spirit. And the way to do that is through Jesus. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We've all sinned. That the wages of sin is death. That means that sin requires our death, not just physical, but also spiritual. And that's for eternity in hell, a place of torment. But God loved you so much that He sent His Son Jesus, who came and lived a life without sin. The Bible says He who knew no sin became sin for us. And He died on a cross in our place, where our sin required our death. Jesus took that upon Himself. And on the third day after His death, God raised Him from the dead as a sign to us that we can have resurrection life and have connection with Him. But just because Jesus died for your sins doesn't mean it automatically applies to you. You have to make a choice to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, personally, for yourself. And so I'm going to give you that opportunity. Why don't you stand all across this place? And I'm going to count to three in just a moment. And if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, to be your Lord and Savior and to wash you clean from sin, when I count to three and you want to receive Jesus, I want you to lift your hand. Secondly, maybe you've asked Him into your life in the past, but you've not been living right and you know you need to recommit your life to Him. When I count to three, I want you to lift your hand as well. All across this place, if that's you, you want to receive Him for the first time and have your sins forgiven, or you will need to recommit your life to Him and get right with Him. Lift your hand in 1, 2, 3. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise God. Anybody else on this other side? I see that hand. Thank you. In the back. Anybody else? Wonderful. You can put that hand down. We're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Don't just mindlessly repeat after me. You make a decision. You have to speak this out. I'm just leading you on how to pray. So whether you lifted your hand or not, right out loud, I want you to say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me brand new and fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can do what you've called me to be, do and be who you've called me to be. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Come on, that's wonderful. The Bible says all of heaven is rejoicing right now because you made that decision. Come on, put your hands together. Yes, give Him praise. Give Him praise. I want to say this though. We want to help you grow in the things of God. So if you prayed that prayer, would you either text us at 907-205-5050, the word saved, or out in the lobby, go to the Next Step desk and let them know that you gave your heart to the Lord. So we want to help you grow in the things of God. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you, Lord God, that you are still speaking today. That, see, we don't serve a dead God. We serve a God who's alive and who speaks. Oh, and we thank you so much. I pray, Lord God, that you would put a fresh revelation in us for your word, an honor, an importance, a value for the prophetic word. Oh, Lord, that the words that have been prophesied over the years, well, God, that we would see them fulfilled and come forth, oh, Lord God, the fresh ones and those that have been sitting for a while. I call, oh, Lord, forth a release of that breakthrough as we value, as we act on, as we wage war with the prophetic. I thank you so much that we're walking into 2026 carrying your word, full of your word, waging war with your word. I thank you we're going to prosper. We're going to be in health even as our souls prosper. I thank you so much. I break off discouragement now. I thank you for fresh faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.